My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Joining me now on Wisconsin Sports Daily to talk about your Milwaukee Bucks. For my money, best on the Bucks beat, and he does it for The Athletic. It's always a pleasure to welcome in Eric Name. Eric, long time no talk. How are you, my friend?
I am well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm calm. And I'm good when it comes to the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't know how much you follow social media, Eric, when it comes to Bucks Nation and try to get your finger on the pulse of Bucks fans, but I feel like there were expectations that more would be done as free agency opened up. I don't know where that expectation came from, Eric, because short of a trade, even not knowing a lot about salary caps in the NBA and all the intricacies of it, I knew that the Bucks just didn't have a lot to work with to go out and sign guys, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's not been the most exciting month of writing for me because I feel like I'm just like, I don't know, like a CPA. Like, I'm an accountant, I'm an attorney. Like, I don't, whatever it is, like, I just read through the CBA and then I need to inform, like, my readers and my audience that, hey, if all of the exciting things that you want to happen with the team are going to happen, the Bucks are going to have to find some way out of the current cap situation that they are in. Like, they are in the most restrictive part of the salary cap at this moment, as a second apron team, as a repeater luxury tax team, like, of all the places that they're in, it's just really difficult for the Bucks to kind of do everything, which is why I agree when, you know, the off season came around, there's a reason why I listed off the top 10 guys that they could sign on a veteran minimum contract, because that's about all they could do unless they did pull off one of those trades. And I think the tough part with, you know, pick whoever you want, whether it's Brook Lopez, Bobby Portis, Pat Connaughton, the Bucks are still trying to win a championship next season. And I think it's really difficult because they can't take on any more money. They can't aggregate two contracts, so that means trading two players for one player. Because they can't do all those things, it's like, okay, well, Brook Lopez gets paid $23 million, so you got to find someone that gets paid less than him, and then you also need to find someone that can make the impact that Brook Lopez can, and that's really hard,
right?
So then you go, okay, well, let's trade Bobby Portis. All right, well, Bobby Portis is going to make $12.6 million next year. You got to get less than that. Who is going to make as big of an impact on the floor as Bobby Portis at that level? And if they are able to, why does that team who you're trading with want to trade that player to you? Because why wouldn't they just want to keep that player? Because that player sounds, this hypothetical player sounds incredibly valuable. And it's kind of just like the same thing down the line on all these guys. It's a really difficult situation to try to find a trade in to, you know, make a big splashy move. And, you know, I understand you have to have the idea of keeping up with the Joneses. But, you know, if the Philadelphia 76ers are trading for Paul George, if the New York Knicks are trading for Mikal Bridges, wouldn't they technically be keeping up with the Bucks? Because the Bucks traded for Damian Lillard at the start of last season.
Thank you.
That was the Bucks' big move. And these teams are now answering it. So really what you're kind of banking on is, year one of Giannis and Dame went really poorly. I think there's lots of reasons why it went that poorly, but the hope would be that going forward, it's going to be better. They have a full offseason to work together. They understand everything. You know, they're going to have a full training camp. They have a veteran coach in Doc Rivers that can help them figure it out. Like, all of that should be better. But, yeah, it's an interesting offseason because there is so much interest in the offseason. That's the way that the modern NBA has been built, that it's tough to watch all these other teams do stuff and then think about your team and be like, well, why aren't we doing anything? Well, there's not really a whole lot that the team can do right now.
And I do want to get into the moves that they did make. I was reading your piece you put up yesterday, and you made me feel a little bit better about it. But before we get into that, something you just said, which is the Bucks are still trying to win a championship. And I think a lot of people are sort of selling short their chances of doing just that without making a major or big splash move. Am I crazy, Eric, to think that, you know, if they're healthier, a little more continuity of playing together, of playing under Doc Rivers, of him getting his coaches in place, which he wasn't able to do, taking over this team midseason last year, that all of that could be good enough that I feel just as good about the Bucks' chances going into this year as I did last year? Like, regardless of what the Knicks did, regardless of the Celtics winning a championship, the Bucks haven't really fallen down the ladder or the power rankings all that much this offseason in my eyes. Am I being delusional in saying, like, if they're healthier and have a little more continuity under their belt, this team is as good as anyone?
I think there's a couple things that you kind of have to keep in mind in that regard. I think the first thing is you take a look at the Minnesota Timberwolves, right? The Timberwolves traded for Rudy Gobert two summers ago. They traded all of these picks. They ended up being the seventh seed in the West. They lost in the first round, and everyone thought, oh, those idiots. Mm-hmm. What a terrible trade. They had no idea what they were doing. They gave up all of these assets. Well, year went by, and in year two, they knew how to work with each other much better. They were a much more cohesive unit, and Anthony Edwards took another step forward, and then all of a sudden, look at that. Oh, my gosh. They are one of the best teams in the Western Conference. So I think you have to put some of your faith in that, right? The idea that year two will go better just because of just because they know each other better. Dame and Giannis know each other better. Their coach knows them better. They hired Doc in the middle of the season, which allows Doc Rivers to kind of have the end of the season to get to know them and then put something together here in the off season and put them on the right page. On top of it, Damian Lillard has admitted multiple times that he was not working out last offseason because he wanted to make sure that he was healthy when he got a trade. And you have to remember that trade occurred 3 days before training camp. So that wasn't mm-hmm. just like not being able to work out until July 1st, right? That's typically what we hear when guys are free agents, like, hey, I didn't work out until I signed the new contract and then I could start working out. He didn't work out until September 25th. Like, this is going to be a full offseason for him. So I think you start kind of there and you think about that. And then, I mean, maybe it is bias on my part because I've covered them every day now for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. But I think there's three players in the best in the world conversation. I think it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think it's Nikola Jokic and it's Luka Doncic. Those are the three guys in the conversation for the best player in the world. And I think Giannis has just as much right to that claim as those other two guys. And until that changes, I struggle to figure out why I should go into a season counting out the Milwaukee Bucks to come out of the Eastern Conference. That's just to me, what we've seen in the playoffs year over year over year is the team with the best player on the floor ends up doing it. Maybe you can argue the Celtics weren't quite built that way and they're built more around their depth, and that's fine. But I think overall, when you have the best player in the world, you're going to end up in the conversation at the end of the day for competing for a championship. And that's what I think Giannis Antetokounmpo is.
I don't mean to pick on anybody in the NBA media or NBA talking head world. And I like Tim Legler, but he said on ESPN, Eric, and you don't have to do your whole power rankings for me, he's got the Bucks as seventh in the East right now. That's crazy, right? That's crazy talk.
It's insane. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Fair enough.
I don't need to add anything for that.
Okay. All right. Good. We'll talk more about that with, I don't need to bother you with that. We're going to talk more about that. Those comments come. That is crazy. Like I said, and we're talking with Eric Naim of The Athletic, covers the Bucks for them over there. If you don't know, I was reading your piece at The Athletic yesterday and talking about the additions of DeLon Wright and Tayshaun Prince, neither who are going to like move the needle for a lot of people, and maybe not even to Bucks fans as sexy a name as Malik Beasley, who they had to let walk this offseason as he looks for bigger money elsewhere. But you talked about why those guys may actually be better pieces for the Milwaukee Bucks than what they might lose this offseason.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Yeah, Malik Beasley was fantastic last year. I really don't want to take anything away from him.
Right.
He had one of the best three-point shooting seasons in the entire league. He gave real solid effort defensively. Like, he, as a minimum contract, you couldn't ask for anything more than what Malik Beasley gave you. But Malik Beasley was the perfect pairing for Jrue Holiday. He was a smaller shooting guard, you know, like he wasn't going to have like the big size that could really bully people. He's a great 3-point shooter, but you know, when you needed a stop, you were going to say, all right, Jrue Holiday, go cover whoever it is. The other team's best player, Jrue Holiday, is going to take care of that. You can put Malik Beasley on a weaker offensive player. That wasn't the case. Once you traded for Damian Lillard, he needed to cover the other team's best player, and Malik really gave it his all. He's just not good at that. That's not something that he can do. And to me, Delon Wright is not going to shoot the ball as well as Malik Beasley did last year. That's not going to happen in this upcoming season. He's been a good shooter throughout his career. You know, he's a career 35.4% three-point shooter. Like, he can shoot the ball, but it's not going to be Malik. But what he can do is defend. You know, he's 6'5". He's got this long wingspan. He fights over the top of screens. He pressures point guards up and down the floor. And to me, the size is really big, right? Like, the Bucks have had guys that can pressure in the past. You think of Javon Carter a few years ago. But they haven't had a guy with real size there at shooting guard that could, you know, have that body and then also execute defensively. So I just think DeLon Wright is, like, a much better fit next to Damian Lillard. And there's one more open roster spot, so maybe he won't end up being the starting shooting guard on day one, and it'll be a competition, and it could be AJ Green or whatever. But like, I just think he fits better than Malik Beasley did. Like, if you're trying to find someone to pair next to Damian Lillard, DeLon Wright makes a lot more sense than Malik Beasley, and it would have been the inverse on the other side. Like, Malik Beasley would have fit a lot better with Jrue Holiday. That's just kind of the facts of the matter, but that's not the team that the Bucks had last year. So while Malik was great, he didn't fit particularly well. And then when you look at Torian Prince, like, you have to think about whose spot he's taking on the roster. And that's going to be someone like Jay Crowder, last year. And Jay dealt with a lot of injuries. He failed to really find a way to make an impact. And Torian Prince was kind of the opposite, right? Like, there's a portion of Bucks fans that disliked him because Darvin Ham couldn't find a way to get him off the floor. Darvin just kept playing him. And Lakers fans were like, well, this is way too much Torian Prince. And you're looking at a guy that played 2,100 minutes last year. And if you're talking about, you know, what you're going to be able to get on a veteran minimum, you know, you can do a lot worse than a 6'6 wing with a 7-foot wingspan that shot 39.6% from three last year and 37% for his career. Like, that'll play. If you're trying to figure out how to put together an 8-man playoff rotation, 6'6 with long arms that can shoot threes, that plays. It just does. And I think when you look at this roster, if you look at the top 10 from last year versus the top 10 from this year, and again, they still have another roster spot, they could still find somebody more. Like, I would take the top 10 this season from last season. And a lot of that, it might not necessarily be more talent. I just think everything fits better. Everything makes more sense. Like, these two signings show that the Bucks very clearly understood what it was that they lacked last season, and John Horst went out and targeted guys that helped him get it. And that isn't splashy. It's not a big trade. It isn't going to make a lot of headlines. But it is the type of move that can help this team get better and make a lot more sense and hopefully be more well-rounded next season, because the defense is what you need right now. When you have Giannis Antetokounmpo, Damian Lillard, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, you have five dudes that can go out there and score. Like, right. That's not a problem. Scoring's not a problem. You got to find dudes that can defend, and both these guys that the Bucks brought in are guys that can go out there and help defend.
I agree with you. I told you I agreed with you before when you talked about, you know, the star power of a Giannis and a Dame and Chris, and how that instantly puts you in the discussion for winning championships. But you just brought up top 10, and come playoff time, you know, you're going to need contributions. Those guys are what's going to make things go. But you are going to need contributions from, you know, the eighth guy or maybe the ninth guy on the roster. Do you have a feel? Do you think Doc has a feel for who's that seventh, eighth guy that he can? I feel like we've been waiting for Marjon Beauchamp to live up to expectations for a long time. I don't think Connaughton, that is still in the place where you can count on quality minutes from him. We saw some flashes from A.J. Green and Andre Jackson Jr. last year. Do you have a feel for who Doc trusts for those last couple of bench spots that are going to need to contribute in big games and come playoff time?
I mean, I think overwhelmingly, let's see, since I've been on the beat, three coaches have come through: Mike Budenholzer, Adrian Griffin, and Doc Rivers. All of them, similarly to how Darvin Ham kept finding a way to get Torian Prince on the floor, all three of those coaches have found ways to get Pat Connaughton on the floor. And I know he's not the most popular, and he had a down shooting season last year, and he's regressed, you know, kind of year over year from that championship season. So you are hoping that he can find a way to get back to being a knockdown three-point shooter. But, you know, Pat always tends to be in the right place defensively. He does the right things. So coaches want to play him. I think it's going to be on Pat to be better this season. If he doesn't hit shots, if he doesn't do the things that they're asking of him and the team needs from him, okay, then I think you have a guy in A.J. Green that showed he can knock down shots. He's six. He's 6'5" with those big shoulders. He can defend. He can do a little bit of all of that. I think AJ Green slots in there as well. And then, I mean, if you're looking further down, Andre Jackson Jr. ended up playing in the playoffs. He had a couple games where he made an impact. I think he gets a chance. But you just have to kind of see all those guys. To me, AJ Green's the one that stands out. Just because of his high-level shooting, like, that will always play next to Giannis. I mean, it doesn't even need to be next to Giannis. Just in the NBA, if you can be a 40% three-point shooter on high volume and knock it down off the move and do all the things that A.J. Green can do while being able to defend, you're going to find minutes. So if you're asking to handicap kind of that three-person group around the 9 to 12 area, AJ Green, to me, is the guy that I would, you know, kind of lean on to be the favorite to have those bigger minutes coming out of camp. And then, you know, we'll see if he can perform when asked to do a little bit more. And Pat Connaughton could be in there and Andre Jackson Jr. as well.
Last quick thing for you, Eric. I mentioned how people's expectations are maybe a little unrealistic coming into free agency, given what the Bucks have to work with. I feel like every year Bucks fans trick themselves into thinking, you know, at the bottom third or even lower than that of the draft, that they're going to get somebody who can come in here and help them right away, or maybe ever. You know what I mean? What can you tell us about the guys that the Bucks drafted last week and what it says about, you know, the Bucks moving forward, if anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at A.J. Johnson and Tyler Smith, two 19-year-olds, which just kind of pulled down the possibility of them being able to make an impact right away. But you look at A.J. Johnson, he's one of the fastest and quickest players in the entire draft. Unfortunately, while being that, he's also one of the lightest players in the NBA draft. He's the second lightest player in the draft at 167 pounds. Only Rob Dillingham of the Timberwolves was smaller than him. And this is a man's league. You got to be able to play through a lot of contact, especially with the way that they were officiating in the second half of the season. So AJ's going to have some work to do on his body to get stronger. But if you look at those physical skills, they're undeniably there. And then Tyler Smith, I mean, he is a big kid. I think when I shook his hand after his introductory press conference, it was like, oh, this kid's got some big shoulders. I mean, he can really shoot it left-handed. If we're talking about who might be able to contribute next year, it feels, yeah, Malik Beasley was fantastic last year. I really don't want to take anything away from him.
Right.
He had one of the best three-point shooting seasons in the entire league. He gave real solid effort defensively. Like, he, as a minimum contract, you couldn't ask for anything more than what Malik Beasley gave you. But Malik Beasley was the perfect pairing for Drew Holiday. He was a smaller shooting guard. You know, like, he wasn't going to have, like, the big size that could really bully people. He's a great three-point shooter. But, you know, when you needed a stop, you were going to say, all right, Drew Holiday, go cover whoever it is. The other team's best player, Drew Holiday's going to take care of that. You can put Malik Beasley on a weaker offensive player. That wasn't the case once you traded for Damian Lillard. He needed to cover the other team's best player, and Malik really gave it his all. He's just not good at that. That's not something that he can do. And to me, Don Wright is not going to shoot the ball as well as Malik Beasley did last year. That's not going to happen in this upcoming season. He's been a good shooter throughout his career. You know, he's a career 35.4% three-point shooter. Like, he can shoot the ball, but it's not going to be Malik. But what he can do is defend. You know, he's 6'5". He's got this long wingspan. He fights over the top of screens. He pressures point guards up and down the floor. And to me, the size is really big, right? Like, the Bucks have had guys that can pressure in the past. You think of Javon Carter a few years ago. But they haven't had a guy with real size there at shooting guard that could, you know, have that body and then also execute defensively. So I just think Delon Wright is, like, a much better fit next to Damian Lillard. And there's one more open roster spot, so maybe he won't end up being the starting shooting guard on day one, and it'll be a competition, and it could be AJ Green or whatever. But, like, I just think he fits better than Malik Beasley did. Like, if you're trying to find someone to pair next to Damian Lillard, Delon Wright makes a lot more sense than Malik Beasley. And it would have been the inverse on the other side. Like, Malik Beasley would have fit a lot better with Drew Holiday. That's just kind of the facts of the matter, but that's not the team that the Bucks had last year. So while Malik was great, he didn't fit particularly well. And then when you look at Torian Prince, like, you have to think about whose spot he's taking on the roster. And that's going to be someone like Jay Crowder last year. And Jay dealt with a lot of injuries. He failed to really find a way to make an impact. And Torian Prince was kind of the opposite, right? Like, there's a portion of Bucks fans that disliked him because Darvin Ham couldn't find a way to get him off the floor. Darvin just kept playing him. And Lakers fans were like, well, this is way too much Torian Prince. and you're looking at a guy that played 2,100 minutes last year. And if you're talking about, you know, what you're going to be able to get on a veteran minimum, you know, you can do a lot worse than a 6'6 wing with a 7-foot wingspan that shot 39.6% from three last year and 37% for his career. Like, that'll play. If you're trying to figure out how to put together an 8-man playoff rotation, 6'6 with long arms that can shoot threes, that plays. It just does. And I think when you look at this roster, if you look at the top 10 from last year versus the top 10 from this year, and again, they still have another roster spot, they could still find somebody more. Like, I would take the top 10 this season from last season. And a lot of that, it might not necessarily be more talent. I just think everything fits better. Everything makes more sense. Like, these two signings show that the Bucks very clearly understood what it was that they lacked last season, and John Horst went out and targeted guys that helped him get it. And that isn't splashy. It's not a big trade. It isn't going to make a lot of headlines, but it is the type of move that can help this team get better and make a lot more sense and hopefully be more well-rounded next season, because the defense is what you need right now. When you have Giannis Antetokounmpo, Damian Lillard, Brooke Lopez, Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, you have five dudes that can go out there and score. Like, right. That's not a problem. Scoring's not a problem. You got to find dudes that can defend, and both these guys that the Bucks brought in are guys that can go out there and help defend.
I agree with you. I told you I agreed with you before when you talked about, you know, the star power of a Giannis and a Dame and Chris, and how that instantly puts you in the discussion for winning championships. But you just brought up top 10, and come playoff time, you know, you're going to need contributions. Those guys are what's going to make things go. But you are going to need contributions from, you know, the eighth guy or maybe the ninth guy on the roster. Do you have a feel? Do you think Doc has a feel for who's that seventh, eighth guy that he can? I feel like we've been waiting for Marjon Beauchamp to live up to expectations for a long time. I don't think Connaughton is still in the place where you can count on quality minutes from him. We saw some flashes from A.J. Green and Andre Jackson Jr. last year. Do you have a feel for who Doc trusts for those last couple of bench spots that are going to need to contribute in big games and come playoff time?
I mean, I think overwhelmingly, let's see, since I've been on the beat, three coaches have come through: Mike Budenholzer, Adrian Griffin, and Doc Rivers. All of them, similarly to how Darvin Ham kept finding a way to get Torian Prince on the floor, all three of those coaches have found ways to get Pat Connaughton on the floor. And I know he's not the most popular, and he had a down shooting season last year, and he's regressed, you know, kind of year over year from that championship season. So you are hoping that he can find a way to get back to being a knockdown three-point shooter. But, you know, Pat always tends to be in the right place defensively. He does the right things. So coaches want to play him. I think it's going to be on Pat to be better this season. If he doesn't hit shots, if he doesn't do the things that they're asking of him and the team needs from him, okay, then I think you have a guy in A.J. Green that showed he can knock down shots. He's 6'5" with those big shoulders. He can defend. He can do a little bit of all of that. I think A.J. Green slots in there as well. And then, I mean, if you're looking further down, Andre Jackson Jr. ended up playing in the playoffs. He had a couple games where he made an impact. I think he gets a chance. But you just have to kind of see all those guys. To me, A.J. Green's the one that stands out. Just because of his high-level shooting, like, that will always play next to Giannis. I mean, it doesn't even need to be next to Giannis. Just in the NBA, if you can be a 40% three-point shooter on high volume and knock it down off the move and do all the things that A.J. Green can do while being able to defend, you're going to find men. So if you're asking to handicap kind of that three-person group around the 9 to 12 area, A.J. Green, to me, is the guy that I would, you know, kind of lean on to be the favorite to have those bigger minutes coming out of camp. And then, you know, we'll see if he can perform when asked to do a little bit more. And Pat Connaughton could be in there, and Andre Jackson Jr. as well.
Last quick thing for you, Eric. I mentioned how people's expectations are maybe a little unrealistic coming into free agency, given what the Bucks have to work with. I feel like every year Bucks fans trick themselves into thinking, you know, at the bottom third or even lower than that of the draft, that they're going to get somebody who can come in here and help them right away, or maybe ever. You know what I mean? What can you tell us about the guys that the Bucks drafted last week and what it says about, you know, the Bucks moving forward, if anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at A.J. Johnson and Tyler Smith, two 19-year-olds, which just kind of pulled down the possibility of them being able to make an impact right away. But you look at A.J. Johnson, he's one of the fastest and quickest players in the entire draft. Unfortunately, while being that, he's also one of the lightest players in the NBA draft. He's the second lightest player in the draft at 167 pounds. Only Rob Dillingham of the Timberwolves was smaller than him. And this is a man's league. You got to be able to play through a lot of contact, especially with the way that they were officiating in the second half of the season. So A.J. is going to have some work to do on his body to get stronger. But if you look at those physical skills, they're undeniably there. And then Tyler Smith, I mean, he is a big kid. I think when I shook his hand after his introductory press conference, it was like, oh, this kid's got some big shoulders. I mean, he can really shoot it left-handed. If we're talking about who might be able to contribute next year, it feels like an easier possibility for Tyler Smith to be able to do so just because of the way that he can shoot it and his size. But I think he has a long ways to go, and he's going to have to learn and pick up a lot of things from Brook Lopez and Bobby Portis and Giannis Antetokounmpo, because he is not a finished product yet. I don't know how he's going to try to defend. I don't know if he's going to be in drop like Brook, if he's going to blitz like Bobby, or if he's going to do a little bit of everything like Giannis. I don't quite know yet. So he's going to have a lot to learn, but two very young prospects with the hope is high upside. That's the goal in drafting two guys that young in the NBA draft.
That's Eric Name. Find his work in The Athletic. His coverage of the Bucks is worth the subscription alone. It's the only reason, well, one of the many reasons that I subscribe. You can check his work out there. You can also follow him on Twitter at Eric_Name. And Eric, always a pleasure, my man. Glad you could bring some sensibility to the Bucks conversation here on Wisconsin Sports Daily today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Eric Name, and always a good talk with Eric when it comes to the buck.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly! Auto Parts.